I'm talking this morning about strength for the weak. And I don't, oh, my clicker's over there, okay. And I will show you how strong I am. I bought a dynamometer, and it starts with zero. When I press it hard, 40 pounds. Actually, it's 39. I want somebody to come up to here and show his strength. Come on, anybody? Anybody more than 39? Come up. Of course, it's we have two people come up. Okay. We have a lady come up, and you'll show me your strength first.
How do I do this?
All what you do is pull here.
Okay.
And really hard. Okay.
Can I do two hands?
No, one hand. One hand.
Oh my goodness. Wait. This is terrible. Oh no. I got it, two hands.
Oh. Okay, with two hands, 30 pounds. Oh. I'm still stronger than you are. Okay, Herbie. £43. Barely more than me.
You stuck.
Now here we come, Charlie. She will do, oh my dear, she does 45 pounds. She's strongest so far. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you. The real strong people didn't come up to show us up. In the bulletin it says, thanks for the week. And that's not a bad title either. But actually, it's strength for the week. How many of you feel real strong today? Raise your hands. Well, there are a few of you, the two who came up. But I'm going to tell you today that we're all weak. Am I right? When we think of the great Lord Jesus, God the powerful, we are weak, we are weak. But praise the Lord, we are here. Did you get mics for the, did we get the mics? Do you have mics over there? You have mics? They're over there. Here's a mic for that group over there. Because we have participants in the sermon, and take it. Thank you. And they're going to interrupt me and help me. Am I doing something right? The right button. This is weak. This is the left, this is the right. My system shut down. Okay, now let's go on to the second one. Okay. Very good. I think everything is working. Strength for the weak. We have a New Testament passage and an Old Testament passage. And the New Testament passage is just powerful, the old one too. But I want the question that we will ask ourselves, how does God strengthen the weak and humble? How does he do it? Because he looks for the weak and the humble. When you think you are strong in yourself, you are missing something. So our question, how does God strengthen the spiritually weak and humble? We have a revelation from God in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's turn to that. 2 Corinthians 12 in your Bible. Oops. We find that Paul had a wonderful revelation. And you know, the revelation that Paul had was the basis for his writings of those letters that he did. Praise the Lord. He felt so great when he came back from those revelations. How many of you had revelations from God that you felt good about? Raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need more revelations from God. When God really speaks to you and shows you his way. But then, right after that high experience, comes kind of a little bit of a letdown. To keep me, Paul writes in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, to keep me from pride, for getting puffed up, I, Paul, was given a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. He got the rose with a thorn, am I right? The rose to enjoy the beauty of God. And with that rose came the thorn in the flesh. And today we will talk about that thorn in the flesh which kept Paul weak. And the thorn in the flesh that keeps me weak. And the thorn of the flesh that keeps everybody who really understands God weak. Because God is so great. He couldn't get into this house. We have a high ceiling here. But God couldn't come in here in body. He's so great. But he still does come in spirit. Don't get puffed up. Is that good advice? Have you ever gotten puffed up? Oh, I had some successes. And afterwards you say, hey, this was great. Look at me. Puffed up? Puffed up? It's a dangerous thing, very dangerous. And so Paul prayed for the thorn remover. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. Oh, Lord, please, please, please take it away, that thorn. God's answer? No, the first time. No, the second time. No, the third time. Is that an answer? That's an answer. You know, we often expect an answer to be positive. But actually, sometimes a negative answer is maybe just what we need. Just what we need. Praise the Lord. And instead, he was given the gift of weakness. When I first heard about the gift of weakness, I said, there's something wrong there. We get the gift of strength. Am I right? We ask for the gift of strength. And yet, Paul got the gift of weakness. Have you gotten the gift of weakness? I see some hands shaking, some hands going up. It's all right, it's all right. We have some participants up here in front. Anybody wants to comment already on the gift of weakness? Not yet, not yet. Okay, let's go on. My grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, sit down. Yeah, you may sit down, sure. I promise my grace is sufficient for you. Instead of giving him strength, Paul got grace. You know, that's the biggest gift we can get. Is grace sufficient for you? Is it? That's my question. That's my first question. Is it? Or do we sometimes complain to the Lord and say, Lord, you are not looking after us. We are not getting what we need. And yet, God gives us grace. Is it? Any comment on it in the front here? Okay.
Just recently, I had an experience that really made me realize that that I had a gift of weakness.
A gift of weakness?
Thank God. Thank God. A lot of times in my life, I almost felt like I was Job. And even Pastor Climbs, when he talks to me, he goes, okay, Sue, we're going to open up the book of Sue's tribulations. And he always says that to me. And at times I thought, well, you know, why do I go through so much? And I know one time one lady in Sacramento, Adventist lady says, God is teaching you, Sue. That's why you go through so much. And I thought, wow, I ought to be the smartest lady in Sacramento. But recently, God revealed to me that I have a gift of weakness. Because in the last 2 weeks, I went through an extremely traumatic experience. And I thank God that I'm alive. But it was like during that all, I could feel the Holy Spirit talking to me. And when some people would be very upset and say, why me? And be crying about the thing, I was rejoicing in God and saying, thank you, Jesus. Now I realize why I have gone through weakness, because I know that's when you're there for me.
Amen.
And you
Amen.
Have given me compassion.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grace is all you need. Isn't that a little bit simplistic? But God's grace is all we need. What more do you need than God's grace? Nothing. Love, that's part of God's grace. God's gift of grace is love. Grace is all you need. Grace changes weakness into blessings. When you realize your weaknesses, and many of you do, God changes those weaknesses into blessings. And then we can thank the Lord for those blessings. For difficult things, good things. God's power works best in your weaknesses. I have to read this part here, 2 Corinthians 12, because it's such a powerful one. We had it in Scripture. Thank you for that. Verse 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When we realize our weakness before God, then God can come into our lives and strengthen us. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that tremendous that God comes in and fears us. I learned, let me do this and then I come to you. I learned when I first became a Christian about 50, 60 years ago, that somebody showed me a graph, and it had a line from the one side to the other side. And it showed and said, you do your best, and God makes up the rest. Have you heard that? Amen. That is false. That is false. God does not save us on that basis. One, if I do 20%, then God can just do the 80%. I am closed up. I pretend strength. I hide my weakness. But actually, what God wants to do is do the next slide. Myself, I do nothing. God does it all. My work does not count for my salvation. This is a strange teaching. Okay, now you comment on that one.
I was just going to share, my youngest Dylan has just started to play basketball. He's never done that before, so it's all new to him. His coach has noticed that he has some natural talent, but many times Dylan has gone to his coach and said, I don't know how to hold the ball for this shot, or I don't know how to do this, or, you know, he comes, and his coach came to me anyway, and he said, I love working with your son. Because he is willing to learn
Amen.
How to do it the right way. And, you know, you look at the coach is not God, but the coach knows how to play basketball. He knows, he's been there, he's been through these things, he knows what to say to Dylan to get him to bring out the best in the talent that he has. And I think when we look to God, we have to be open vessels. We have to be willing to listen to what he wants us, how he wants us to use the talent that he's given us. And we can't do that if we come across as strong or as know-it-all or I've got it down. We have to be open, and in that is weakness. We just have to show that we don't know it all.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We cannot do it. God does it all. We afterwards, of course, have to walk in his way. We come to that. In my strength... My question to my panel, in my strength, keeping the law is A, easy, B, difficult, C, impossible. Do you want somebody to comment?
Rudy, Paul. I think you left out an answer.
Oh, praise, good.
I wanted D, all of the above.
Oh, he wants D, all of, I like that. I'm sorry, but I can't change your slide now.
Because I can't keep God's law. It's impossible. At times when I've, you know, tried, certainly it's difficult, but really impossible. But if God will write his law in my heart, then it becomes easy because I want to do what he wants me to do.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? How about the difficult? You didn't comment on the difficult.
I think the difficult is... probably really more the impossible, because if I'm trying to do it on my own, not relying on God, it's very difficult. But I think probably impossible is the better word there.
Good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he gives us a strength. Am I right? He works through us. He gives us a love. He gives us we see the need. You know, I get such a great blessing from meeting Christians. This morning I met somebody coming in just outside, just shaking hands. And they gave me such a blessing that it's enough for the day. Enough for the day in just a few sentences, in a couple of sentences. And so we can bless others. God blesses us. Through others, and praise the Lord. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. I know that sounds kind of strange, But when I'm spiritually weak and recognize my spiritual weakness, God gives me spiritual strength. Am I right? Amen. The physical, as we saw, doesn't always work, but the spiritual does. God can only fill an empty cup, right? Amen. When you think you are full of yourself and full of your glory, God can't fill you. God can't use you. God just turns away. But if your cup is empty and you come to God pleading, fill my cup, Lord, he does it, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. My weaknesses, I put down the four weaknesses, and there are many more. But they're kind of good characteristic ones. My kind wife edits all my slides, and she suggested those four or three. Has anybody ever gotten F's in school? Never mind, don't raise your hand, but I have. And you feel very weak when you get an F in school, am I right? I can't do it, I'm a dumbhead or whatever. Anybody has a backache, don't raise your hand either. Backaches are weaknesses. Some people lost their job. Oh man, how weak you feel when you get fired, you know, or lose your job or whatever else. The last one came yesterday, last night, in our Bible study. Somebody said, oh, I'm so weak. I don't have enough opportunity to study my Bible daily with somebody. And I think our greatest weakness, and I feel the same way, is Bible study. That we really go to the Word of God and are fed by Him and blessed by Him. Give me some other examples, somebody. Yes, you.
I really liked what Carolyn had to say. It reminded me of my experience in college a century ago. Well, it was in the last century anyway. I was a PE major, and I had classmates who were naturally gifted athletes. And whenever it was time to learn something new, they were always the first to learn it. It just came to them. At one school in particular, the most gifted athletes were the worst teachers. They did not know how to teach that skill to anybody else because it just came to them. I had to work through all of those procedures to learn how to do that particular physical skill. And it made me a better teacher because then I was able to relate to other people who were trying to learn it. And
so your weakness was a blessing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's what we are talking about.
And that's why Jesus is such a great example for us, because he's been through everything that we have could possibly go through. He's tasted that.
He tasted weakness.
Yes, he did.
On the cross.
Yes.
For us. Mm-hmm.
He tasted loneliness.
He tasted loneliness. Praise the Lord that he did it.
You know, I mean, there's nothing that we could go through that Jesus cannot relate to.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Other comment? Any more examples of weakness? Okay.
I like that sort of wraps it up, because it's exactly what I had in mind. Thank you.
Thank you. God's okay here, I'm sorry.
A few years ago, as I was reading through the scripture, in particular Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I read that common phrase that we see, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And I've heard so many times over the years, it's my faith that saves me, it's my faith that saves me. And finally I read that passage and I said, no, it's not my faith that saves me. Yeah. Rather, the antecedent of the word that is not the faith, it's grace in, or the faith in terms of being the gift. Let me back up. It says, by grace are you saved by faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And
that's right.
The antecedent of the word that is faith. Faith is a gift.
That's right.
It's a gift when we realize we are weak. And
Paul, and need salvation.
We realize that we can't save ourselves, and then we become crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but we live by the faith of Christ, not of our faith, but
Amen.
His faith.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I have another little different weakness, and maybe other people share it. I have a weakness of caring too much for others, and I tend to be a caregiver and a provider, sometimes to the point that I then become an enabler, and then that point, it ends up setting myself up because I'm not setting good boundaries and I hurt myself. So I have such a weakness that I'm like trying to help everybody else and I get myself in trouble.
Praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. Basically, look to Jesus, if I respond to yours. Look to Jesus, not to the work what you're doing. That's all I can say on that. Okay, God's timetable. We are physically weak, and we recognize our weakness, and so we seek strength. But the biggest strength that we can get is spiritual strength. You can be a giant physically. I go to a 24-hour fitness, and I admire those people who exercise there. They stand on one of those rubbery things upside down, you know, like kind of a half moon, and you stand on it. I barely can stand on it. I fall off. They stand on it with one foot, have the other foot up, and then they have weights. And they push the weights up and down, up and down and down, standing on one foot on that slippery slope there. Weak, I see my weakness all along. I'm not able to do any of that. But spiritual strength we all can get. We all can be giants, spiritual giants, as we walk forward in faith with Jesus. The four steps are so simple, but the last one is the hardest. Asking, of course, believing, confessing, and doing the will of God. Doing the will of God, searching out the will of God continuously. And the will of God is for you to love the Father with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. So today, when somebody comes and touches you or greets you, pour out your love to that person fully. Give him all you have, because that's what they need. Praise the Lord. Christ's strength is sufficient to bear my thorn of pain, and I with you can trust in Christ to see us through. And there are two quotations that I give there, the quotes, the people who gave them is hard to read. I believe in the power of weakness. isn't that a contradiction? And I believe in the power of weakness also. And then the second quotation, growth begins when we begin to accept our own weaknesses. And there's no growth until you accept your own weaknesses. You have to apply. You have to show that you can't do it on yourself, on your own. And how does the Lord use my weaknesses? My question to you in the front here. In which of my weaknesses does the Lord see glory? That's a hard one. Any comment on any of them? That's a very hard one if we examine ourselves. In which of my weaknesses does the Lord see glory?
The Lord uses our weaknesses, I think, to remind us that we are weak, that we still need him. And whenever we make mistakes or fall short and we realize that, it's a continual reminder of how much we need him.
How much we need him.
Yeah, how much we need him.
Pastor, you know, early this morning, I prayed for perfection.
For perfection?
For perfection.
Perfection.
For our songs, and God, you know, will sing with us, and I'm out of timing, and it's just like, you know, I need your prayer right now to comfort me.
Right. But I never pray for perfection.
I mean, to comfort me right now because of my weaknesses. You know, I just, you know, I mean, we sometimes we want to do things perfectly, you know, do things right.
But do things right is not perfection.
I know, but then we fall. Because, you know, we have weaknesses.
We have weaknesses.
We have weaknesses. And then pray for God's comfort and his grace.
Praise the Lord.
For our weaknesses.
We were.
Amen.
The everlasting God. And let's go now to Isaiah. Oh, Isaiah, the Old Testament, gives us a beauty that cannot be surpassed. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, to those who have no might. He increases strength. Isn't that beautiful? That's a wonderful passage in Isaiah 40. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord for a God that is so powerful. We expect strength, power to the weak. He increases our strength. Youth will faint and fall, but those who look to the Lord, gift of hope to wait on the Lord, renew your strength. Fly, run, walk. I can't run anymore very well. But praise the Lord, I can run spiritually in my dreams, in the work that I'm doing. Praise the Lord. Did I do something? Okay, renew your strength. Now, that's not a picture of me there. But the Lord gives us that spiritual giant strength that we can have. God's strength is most fully displayed in our weaknesses. Not in our own strength, but in our dependence. Go ahead.
I was thinking kind of back to the questions about weakness, but it goes with what you just showed us on that last slide there. When I stop and see my own weakness, it causes me to look to the Lord and to open my heart to him and to his will, and then he uses that for his glory. Then he can use me as I'm open to him, does that make sense, for his glory, for his purpose. And so weakness, in a sense, is an attitude. It's God's attitude adjustment for me.
Attitude adjustments. I like that.
Yeah, that's about what I was going to say. That if we get all caught up and all full up, then we don't realize our weaknesses. And I have learned that that's why sometimes God allows circumstances to happen so that in our weakness we can see his glory.
Amen, amen, amen. God is God. Can you find yourself? Can you read the bottom line? That's a test of your eyesight. We are. We are very small when we think of the power of God, isn't that right? And God is God. God is Lord. God is the creator of all. And we are the creatures. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I put in some tomatoes and they grew way up over the top of my head. Oh my goodness, about 10 feet tall. And it froze yesterday. And the girl that lives over at my house, she says, yeah, they're tall, but where's the tomatoes at? There's no more fruit. And I says, well, gee, I don't know. And I came out and they were all frozen and they're just hanging, yeah? I says, well, God wants something better. So I got busy and I put up Christmas tree ornaments. I figured something that says joy, you know?
I liked your expression, God wants something better.
Yeah.
God continuously wants something better. Well, and he wants to give us a better gift, am I right? If we feel the need of it. If we don't feel the need of it, he keeps it himself and gives it to somebody else.
You got to, though, because look what he did. Maybe he never did.
I understand.
Oh, well.
We are useless if we advance ourselves, if we promote ourselves, are narcissistic and full of spiritual pride. That makes us useless. And we have two seats, the mercy seat and the judgment seat. And I'm all for the mercy seat. All those who will stand before the judgment seat are already in trouble, most of likely. But God put the mercy seat on the top in the most holy place, and the angels watching over the mercy seat. And so we need to have mercy. As God has mercy on us, we need to show mercy to others. Amen. We are powerless, we're weak, we're humble, we are dependent, but we are empowered by God when we come to him. I like this here. It's a parable of the frog. For the frog in the well, the small sky that he sees above is a whole world. If a frog was born in that well, that's all he ever saw, that little piece of sky above us, above him. And if we can realize how small we are, how little we see, how limited we are, we can worship that great God who made the stars, the universes, everything else. The world is much bigger than that little sky. And so the humble shall be strong. May the Lord give us the humility of weakness, of recognizing our weakness, so that he can make us strong spiritually and that we can go forward in faith, trusting him with his strength. This is my prayer. Shall we pray? Kind Father, you are our God, and we thank you for looking after us, for giving us weaknesses so that we can be drawn to you to gain the strength. We're so limited, but we are also very powerful when we receive your grace. So we thank you for your love. We thank you for the gifts that you give us, even the weaknesses, for Jesus' sake. Amen.